Good afternoon. Welcome to Agriculture Today here on the Red River Farm Network. And we're going to get you into those markets in just a moment. But as you know, this entire week we've been on the road for the Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer. And we're on our last stop of the tour. It's been a great week, and we're stopping in good style here with the Dennis and Sean McCoy operation, Dennis and Sean McCoy Pioneer Seed at Larimore, North Dakota. And, Sean, first of all, a pleasure. Appreciate the chance to have you host us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming.
So tell me about the year, if you would. How did we start, and what's the season been like?
We started pretty slow. It took a while for everything to finally dry out and the snow to melt, but once it finally did, it was all go. It happened really quick. It just took a while to get there.
So we know that we had the heat of the summer. It's been a consistent story that the heat units have been a little bit higher than the norm.
Yeah, they. I suppose we were about 250 GDUs higher than the last 5 years here, over 200 in the last 30 years. So it was pretty cool to see how quickly the corn grew and started to mature. And it's been awesome to see that at least. So
what's the crop looking like right now?
It looks pretty good overall. I'd probably say average, I guess. We were looking fantastic until about a month ago, and it kind of slowed down with the rain. I think that we had done a lot of growing with those GDUs before it got dry enough. So I think we're still going to be looking at average to above average yields.
So what do you call average for corn and soybeans in this part of the world?
For this specific area, like 140 to 150 for corn and I suppose 35 to 45 for soybeans. If you get a little closer to Larimore or something, things get a little higher there, just different soil types and less hills and whatnot. So
how close are we to harvest in this area?
Well, some fields look like a week away for soybeans, and other fields look just normal, you know, a couple, like 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Corn will be right on the tail. Corn dried down, has been drying down really quickly, and I think it's going to be important to pay attention to that, especially guys with a lot of acres, how quickly corn has started to dry. So it's going to be right at the end of soybean harvest is what we're thinking.
And a common theme, I think, as we've been continuing on this tour. We're going to talk more as we continue with Agriculture Today. Again, we're at the Dennis and Sean McCoy Pioneer Seed Operation at Larimore, North Dakota, with our Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer. Now back to Randy with the markets.
All righty, thanks.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Again, it's been a pleasure this entire week with our inaugural Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer. We are right now with Sean McCoy from Dennis and Sean McCoy Pioneer Seed in that Larimore area of North Dakota. And Sean, we talked a little bit about this growing season. I'm curious, have you seen any particular issues? It seems like we've been seeing some earworm, we've seen some corn borer, those kind of things as we've made our travels. What's your situation been locally?
I've seen both of those the last couple weeks, actually. Earworm I'm not really used to seeing. I see corn borer every once in a while in the non-BT hybrids. We sell quite a few of those different ones. That's something you got to keep an eye out for. You don't always think of that. You know, a lot of us are focused on the fact that it got dry the last month for a lot of us, but it can only get worse if you have something like corn borer out there in your corn. The standability issues are going to get worse as the year goes on. So
yeah, we're really going to have to manage this harvest. Zach Foria is with us as well from Pioneer, and Zach, that's also been a thing we're going to have to watch closely is what that stalk integrity is as we move forward.
Yeah, that's been a theme we've been talking about all week too, and as Sean indicated, you know, we've got some pretty good yields out there. We had a really good start to the year. We're ahead on heat, so things develop rapidly, and then we've had a long period without a lot of water in most areas, and so what that's done is it created a lot of plant material and a lot of yield potential, and then really taken all of that energy out of those stalks. And so that's one of the things that I think everywhere we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to. And as Sean just mentioned, particularly for non-BT hybrids, if there appears to be a lot more corn borer pressure this year, and that's going to affect standability also as well as ear retention. So those are things we'll really have to watch closely with corn as we get close to harvest.
Sean, have you seen any iron deficiency chlorosis in the IDC in this area? It seems like that's a common issue as we moved into the territory.
Yeah, it's very common. This year has not been as big of a deal. Last year was pretty severe, I guess you'd say. So it's nice to see that not being a huge issue on top of the fact that it's been dry. So it was promising to see that this spring.
What challenges are you seeing in the beans? What do you note for this year?
Well, basically just being dry, I guess. You know, Phytophthora has been an issue, but ever since we've been working with the Lumicina seed treatment on our soybeans, and that's helped a lot this year. I've noticed that, so that's good. Just besides those two things, I guess that's kind of the main concern. The heat and the lack of moisture came at the most crucial time for soybean pod development. If it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be many concerns.
Sean, you're an Encirca agent as well with Pioneer. Do you see a lot of interest in the variable rate technology, some of the nutrient type of capability with that kind of technology?
Yeah, I do. It really depends on the grower. Everybody's so different. There's guys that are really interested in progressing and doing things like that, and there's others that kind of want to stick with their ways, and that's fine too. You know, everybody's different. I really like to, my goal is to work with the guys that really are into that, you know, and if there's any that have any other questions and want to get into that, that's also a very good opportunity, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do people kind of learn more about what you all offer at Pioneer in terms of this tech thing? You are really kind of a guru in the area, or so we understand.
Yeah, you just got to figure out what their interests are, you know, and they understand that variable rate is what it is for a reason. It's a big thing. I like to say, pick the worst spot in your field that grows nothing. Do you feel comfortable putting 350 pounds of urea there? I mean, it's almost like, what's the point? And you can just use that throughout the rest of that field or the rest of your farm and save input costs and put your money where it's going to give you yield. So I try to make that point first off and use that to see where the interest is for guys and whatnot. So,
Sean, this farm's got a lot of history with Pioneer. The family's been a dealer for, what did you say, 35 years?
35 years in October, my dad told me. So that's quite a long time. You know, he's loved it, and I'm fortunate because I like it a lot, too. I like having all the products around and learning about this stuff. And then I'm not just working with farmers. I'm working with neighbors and friends, you know. So that makes it pretty awesome. So that's kind of all I've known growing up is the Pioneer logo and everything. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it, too.
You got a plot event coming up? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we have a plot event on next week for our customers. So we are going to check out our corn and soybean plots, which have had sufficient rain this year, so they look great. And then we usually finish with a steak supper in our shop and go over some things and just an appreciation for our customer support.
Perfect. Well, Sean, appreciate you being with us. We're going to kind of put a wrap on the tour in our next segment here in Agriculture Today. It is the Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer.
Thanks, guys. Harvest Hot.
Good afternoon. Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. We are on the road this week. The entire week we've been making the travels across our entire footprint for the Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer. Just to give you kind of a quick snapshot, if we could, we started day number one in the southern Red River Valley down in that Elba Lake, Wheaton, Minnesota area, and we saw a boomer of a crop. Things look excellent in that part of the world. I think a lot of folks said if they're not going to see a record crop, there'd be some disappointment in many of those areas. We then moved on that first day into that Sabin Comstock area and really off into that Leonard, North Dakota area where hail had a pretty devastating impact on the crop, zeroed out the crop, of course, in many of those areas. Second day of the tour, we moved through Georgetown, Ada, Manoman. Certainly the theme of the hot, dry summer seemed to take hold. Moved through Red Lake Falls and Roseau. We saw some areas with the earlier maturity corn looked a little bit better than the longer maturity corn. We moved through North Dakota, the north and northeast, north central portion of the state on Wednesday and certainly saw a few more crop issues as we were in that northern part of the area. Again, we just ran out of rain. In southern North Dakota, we had, again, some pretty good-looking crop. Harvest is probably a little farther away as we went through the southern portion of South Dakota, south central and southeastern, I should say, North Dakota, south central and southeastern North Dakota. And today we've been back in that central Red River Valley region. And I think all the way across you'd see a lot of variability. Zach Forey is with us from Pioneer once again. And appreciate you hosting us, Zach, but I would say variability. I don't know if there's a better way of saying it, but things certainly change as you go across the whole entire region.
Yeah, I think common themes were that we had a really good start to the year. Planting wasn't the earliest it's ever been, but it was pretty good planting dates, and things got established really, really well. And then come to July, we ran out of water in a lot of places, created variability. So in a lot of fields that we've looked at this week, parts of those fields look outstanding, and then there are parts that definitely have some drought stress areas in them. And so variability is certainly something we heard pretty much everywhere we went.
We saw some areas that, particularly some of the tougher weeds, some of the ragweeds and water hemp and kochia, where they've have taken hold. We've also seen kind of some differences in the trait packages, really dependent on locale.
Yep. So I think that was certainly something that we saw in soybeans driving around the entire region this year. Also, would be fields that have a lot of weed problems in them, and I think in my experience, it's unusual. You know, since we started using a lot of Roundup Ready soybeans, we've seen a lot of really clean fields. This year, we saw a lot of fields that they didn't look that good. And when you walked out there and looked in them, it was almost always kochia, common ragweed, water hemp. That's what we were seeing, and they're likely Roundup resistant. And so you're right, Don, we're looking at different technologies. We're looking at some Liberty Link technology in some places. As we went north, we saw a lot of growers that were maybe choosing Xtend varieties that had the best genetics and yield potential, but they weren't necessarily using dicamba products. And with the weed pressure they're seeing, they're probably going to be using the dicamba products in the future because the weeds are there. We had other pockets that are pretty heavy into Liberty Link, particularly in the sugar beet growing regions as kind of a rotational herbicide there. And so we do have some new technologies, some different technologies to use for weed control, and it's pretty evident that we need them, and we need to figure out, we need to be thinking about next year and about how we use those to get more effective weed control.
How does that conversation change when we bring in a very noxious weed like Palmer amaranth that was just discovered in North Dakota? Does it change?
Well, I think that the number one thing with resistant weeds is that we identify them early and that we manage them effectively right away. So I tell guys this all the time, and I don't know how seriously they take me, but if you see a little patch of weeds in a soybean field that is any one of these species where we're seeing resistance, assume it's resistant and go hand weed it or pull it out or whatever. So that's the first thing is prevention.
Good point. And with that, just again, a big thank you to all the farms that we stopped by, all those growers, all the Pioneer sales professionals, and really the entire Pioneer team. It's been great. We do encourage you to check out our coverage, not only online, the Red River Farm Network website, but Facebook and Twitter. We've got a lot of good features there that recap this entire week. Again, it's been a great time. The Red River Farm Network inaugural crop tour presented by Pioneer. You're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.